Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 6, we'll read the first verse. "And he went out from thence, and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him." Lord, I pray for everyone, and I'm thankful for everyone that listens. Lord, give us understanding of the text. And as I often say, Lord, we would see Jesus. Help us, Lord, to understand the text. And as the two disciples did on the road to Emmaus, help us to see Christ through the Scriptures. And Lord, I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. This is our last lesson in our study on John the Baptist. This is actually part 68. And I hope and pray that as we've studied the Scriptures in depth, that you've come to appreciate the Old Testament more in the way that it lays the foundation and sets it up so that Jesus could come and fulfill all of it and to take our sins upon his body when he was nailed to the cross. I hope that this series has been a blessing to you, but let's get into the text. And you know these passages. It says in verse 7 that he called unto him the 12, and he began to send them forth two by two. They went out, they preached the gospel in all of these different towns. And it's an imperative that we continue that mission, or that co-mission, the great co-mission, that we would go out into all the world and preach the gospel. But in verse 11, in his instructions or charge to those that are going to go out, I guess in just a few minutes after he finishes, it says, "And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear you when you depart thence, shake off the dust from under your feet for a testimony against them. For verily or truly I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." Because you see, this is the Lord that visits these cities. And later on he actually would visit them. But these two by twos going to the city, that's the Lord, because they're sent, coming to visit that city. And if they didn't receive the Lord, then they would be judged. And he mentions Sodom and Gomorrah, and we understand the fire that fell from heaven and destroyed those sinners. They were judged for their sin. Well, when the Lord comes, however he comes, if someone comes to preach to you or would have you, and you say yes, well then great, you can go to heaven. But if not, Jesus is the only way to heaven. Church attendance won't do it. Being good, putting money in the bucket on Sunday morning or whatever, good works, what have you name it, turn over a new leaf, none of that stuff works. You must be born again. You must be born again. And again, there is an urgency to win the lost before it's too late. I believe that very soon the Lord will come, and before that there's the great tribulation and all of that stuff. But let's say that's 1,000 years from now, and none of us see it. You don't know, as you leave the house this morning, you don't know what will happen. You could get in a wreck on the interstate. If you're an old man like me, you could have a coronary. There's any number of things that could happen. You must come to Christ before it's too late, because it's appointed unto men once to die, the verse says, but then comes the judgment, and we must be ready to stand before the Lord. But in our text, again, Mark chapter 6, verse 12, 13 and 14, and they went out and preached that men should repent. And it was fantastic. They cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. But King Herod heard of him, heard of Jesus, because everybody had heard of Jesus. And he said that Jesus was John the Baptist that was risen from the dead. And of course, you know, John being risen from the dead, all of these miracles, these mighty works are evident in Jesus' life. Obviously, that's not the case. Reincarnation doesn't happen. But he did remember the scriptures, perhaps, in Malachi, which we've gone over, that said that Elijah would come. So maybe he's got a point. But Herod is talking of John in the past tense after he had been murdered. And we'll try to go over that. And in verse 15, others said, no, it's Elijah, which again is the Malachi thing in chapter 3 and chapter 4, and we've studied that. And others said that this is a prophet or the prophet, or one of the prophets. Everyone had their own opinion. But when Herod heard, in verse 16, it is John, he said, the one that I beheaded. He is risen from the dead. And then it goes to tell the story. I'm sure you've heard it. John was liked by Herod and often heard him preach. But Herod had things in his life that were not right. He was convicted about them. He knew John was right. He knew that the works that he was doing were wrong. John said to repent, and he wanted to, but again, this drama, this backstory, this detail. But John got thrown in prison for Herodias' sake, in verse 17, his brother Philip's wife, for he married her. And I don't understand the mechanics of that. I don't understand. But John told him that, hey, you know, you shouldn't be doing this. This is sinful. And, well, John ended up in prison for telling the truth. It says in verse 20 that Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and a holy man, and he listened to him. He observed what he said. And he heard him gladly, it said. But for his wife, that shouldn't have been his wife, there was a conflict. And again, we know this story, that in verse 21, that on Herod's birthday, there was a supper. They threw him a party, birthday cake, whatever the case. And everybody that was anybody in the government, they were there at Herod's birthday party, or whatever the case. And Herodias, who hated John because her sin was pointed out, had a daughter, and the daughter came out and danced, and hey, you know, nice dance, nice looking girl, etc., etc., and Herod was smitten. And he made her a promise. It says he swore to her in verse 22 that whatever you ask, I'll give. Just ask it. Because he enjoyed that dance very much. And she ran to her mom and said, hey, what do I ask? And the mom said, hey, tell Herod to give you John the Baptist's head on a plate. And she made that request, and because of all the important people that were there, he couldn't back down. He had made a promise, a boast, what have you. He had to do it. He had to order, and it was carried out instantly. The man went down to prison, took John's head, and brought it back. But it says in verse 29 that John's disciples heard about it, and they came, and they took his body and buried it, or however they did, reverenced him, respected him, what have you. This was their rabbi, John. But the next verse, it says, the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus. Just as John's disciples, they took care of him, they followed him. Well, Jesus' disciples, the apostles, they went to the Lord and told him all of that stuff. And Jesus said, hey, let's all take a little holiday. Let's go to a deserted place and rest a while. And it says that they went to that wilderness, woods, whatever, campground, whatever it was, by ship or in a boat, privately. And as you read the other Gospels, the parallel accounts, there's more detail. But that's how John the Baptist lost his life. And all of that is in Mark chapter 6, but in chapter 9, he says this in verse 1, that truly I say unto you, there are those that are standing right here which shall not taste of death, won't die until they see the kingdom of God coming with power. And I normally read it from Matthew, I suppose, but in verse 2 again of Mark 9, he takes Peter, James, and John, goes up to the mountain, and this is the Mount of Transfiguration, and he was transformed before them. We understand that God from heaven came to earth, born of the Virgin, and became a man, 100% God and 100% man. And that's all they ever saw, the disciples, was the human Christ. They knew he was divine, but that's all they ever saw. But on the Mount of Transfiguration, they saw his deity. They saw his face shining, and it says here in Mark, the account in Mark, that his clothes were shining and white as snow. They've never seen anything so white as the robe that Jesus had. And again, we know this story. There appeared with him Elijah and Moses on the mountain, and they were talking with the Lord. And we know this story. Peter said, hey, let's make 3 tabernacles and all of this stuff. But it says that a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. Hear ye him. And that's my message today. I don't care what church you go to, or I don't care if you never go to church, or I don't care if you're in prison, or wherever you happen to be listening to this message. Forget all of that and hear him. Forget everything your church ever taught. Forget everything I've ever taught. You need to hear from God. You have a Bible, or you need to get a Bible and read it and hear for yourself. Hear ye him. Hear the Son of God and what he has to say. Okay, so they were coming down the mountain after that experience. And in verse 11, again, Mark 9, they asked him, hey, Jesus, why do the scribes say that Elijah must first come. That's interesting. They ask him, why do the scribes say that Elijah must come first, when Malachi, the prophet in the Bible, said that he would come? And other prophets also mentioned it, when have you? But they were listening to the scribes or the teachers or the this or that, and not to the Bible itself. And that's a mistake that they did and we often do. We look at church and we say, oh, that's it. Well, we ought to look at the Bible and say, no, that's really it. But Jesus said, he took the question as it was offered to him, shouldn't Elijah come first before the kingdom comes and what have you? Elijah should come first. And in verse 12, he answered and said, yes, Elijah truly comes first and restores all things. But then he begins to talk about himself, the prophecies concerning himself, because we know John the Baptist points to Christ. And he says that Christ, or myself, he said, would suffer many things and be set at naught. And we know that he was crucified. But I say unto you that Elijah is indeed come, and they have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Now, they did to John whatever they wanted. Remember, the Pharisees accused him and this and that and what have you. But finally, John lost his head, as it was written of him. Elijah, the actual prophet, and not the reincarnation and not the this or that, but Elijah, after the prophets of Baal episode, where fire came from heaven and proved from heaven that God was right and the false prophets were wrong. In 1 Kings 19, verse 1 and 2, I suppose, that Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, oh, yeah? So let the gods, not our God, but the pagan gods, the ones that she served, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them that you killed by tomorrow about this time. You got one day left to live, Elijah. And we know that he ran. We know that he was chased. And John was also persecuted. Again, he lost his head. Elijah did a lot of things, but Malachi said that Elijah, or in the mold of Elijah, a prophet would come. And we've studied all of that. That's John the Baptist, not a reincarnation or anything like that, but to preach his message, to preach Elijah's message and Moses' message. And again, in Malachi chapter 3 and 4, we've gone over all of that. But in Matthew chapter 11, and we touched on this briefly last time, I suppose, Jesus said, verily or truly, I say unto you, that among them that are born of women, and hey, everybody's born of women. In other words, out of everybody that's ever lived on the planet up until that time, there's never arisen a greater prophet than John the Baptist. And we've laid that foundation that John summed up the Old Testament and showed, hey, Jesus is the fulfillment of all of that, all of those prophecies, all of those symbols and types and the tabernacle and everything. Jesus fulfills the Old Testament. And you can't do any better than that than to point your finger and say, hey, This is Jesus. He's the Son of God. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He fulfilled the Old Testament. You can't prophesy any better than that. I know we read about John the Baptist in the Gospels, but effectively, he's an Old Testament prophet, the last one and the greatest one that ever was. And such an honor he had to introduce Christ to the world. But Jesus said, hey, there's not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, or nevertheless, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. If you're a Christian, if you're a believer, hey, maybe you're a preacher like me, or maybe you just go to church on Sunday morning and doing the best you can trying to believe. If you're born again, if God, the Holy Spirit, lives in your heart, and you're a disciple of Jesus, you are greater than John the Baptist. That's what Jesus said. If you're a believer, you're greater than John the Baptist, the greatest prophet that ever lived. And you say, how can that be? How can it be that I'm greater than John the Baptist? Because you're a born-again Christian. That's why. In the Old Testament, they would make sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice, oh, so many sacrifices. And it was never enough. It was never enough. They always had to have more sacrifices. Had them twice a day, even. And you could come to God, and you could bring your sacrifice, and you could repent and believe, and that's fine, and your sins were covered. Hey, I got you covered. But when Jesus came, he died once, and it was for all. And our sins are no longer covered, our sins are washed away. Our sins are washed away. He said he'd put our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. And we understand that this world is a globe. And if you start in the east and you go to the west, you can make a million revolutions around the earth and never get to west. And that's how far away our sins are from us, because of the blood of Calvary. Because Jesus shed his blood on Calvary, our sins are washed away. And as great as John the Baptist was, and as great as David, King David, or Solomon, or Abraham, or anybody you want to name, our sins are washed away. We have a better covenant, Paul said. The old covenant, the Old Testament was great, but we have a better testament, a better covenant. That's why it's called the New Testament, or New Covenant. We have the Spirit of God living in our hearts if we are born again. Because Jesus went to the cross and gave his life for our sins. John chapter 8, verse 56. Jesus said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. My day. Abraham was looking for a city, it said. He was looking for Jesus to come. And he rejoiced to see the coming of the Lord by faith, by trusting that, hey, the Messiah would come. Hey, the Lamb of God would come. And he saw it by faith and was glad. But today, as born-again Christians, being part of the new covenant, our relationship with God can be greater and is greater than anything that anyone in the Old Testament ever had. He that's least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist, Jesus said.
I come before you today, and there's just one thing that I have to say.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net. That's JoeyKelly.net. And click on the ministry homepage or on the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 1208 Phocis Street. That's F-O-C-I-S Street, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.